لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك، لا إله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear seekers of knowledge, how is everyone doing? I hope and pray that everyone is on the highest levels of Iman and Taqwa bi-Izzillah. I hope spending the blessed Ramadan in its best spiritual height, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute and the entire team of Journey Through the Quran, I welcome you all in Juz 18th, inshallah wa ta'ala, today. Journey Through the Quran. Subhanallah, every day, one juz less on the countdown. It not only enhances our spirituality, but it also is an added responsibility on our shoulders to practice our deen, since we are continuously learning it straight from its original source, consciously and continuously, alhamdulillah. So, dear sister, every day you sit and learn this beautiful kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our adhered duty to practice the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of learning it and take benefit from it too, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. Tawfiq Allah, we completed Juz 17th. And what was the theme of the Juz? Anyone? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sound judgment. Exactly, subhanallah. In that respect, we saw dua in Juz, right? What was the dua? Anybody remembers? Yeah? Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa'idhni min sharri nafsi. Allahumma alhimni, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rushd, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then we saw the connection between Juz 16th and 17th. Seek right guidance, exactly, alhamdulillah. So, ilm will only be beneficial if we learn how to use ilm in combination with rushd, right? It will in return equip us an insight power, insight the proper way to use the ilm learned, inshallah wa ta'ala. How to put into practice, how to use it properly, inshallah wa ta'ala, then we will learn. Juz started with Surah Al-Anbiya and it started with the strongest message, that the time of people's account has approached, and they still have heedless behavior about it. In other words, we might say we believe in the judgment day, but our actions, our commitments are telling a different story. This ayah itself is very thought-provoking. So my dear sisters, every single passing day we are approaching to our day. And our day will start the day we are 6 feet under. So now is the time to ponder over it, that am I serious in preparing for that day? Or we are so busy in this dunya with our heedless behavior, we are getting loads of information with every juz. But will it stay with us as an information? Or it will transfer into our amal? Because, you know, action is the key, not the information, right? So our actions and decisions should be based upon our desire of how we want our hereafter, how we want to see our hereafter, right? See, if a student is not even preparing for his upcoming exam, he certainly is not serious in passing that class. Then how can we expect a Jannah when we are not willing to take an even teeny tiny step towards it? So we have to decide now what we are looking in our future, what our whole future holds for us, what we are expecting out of our future. Obviously, that's what we are going to work for, right? So, a very thought-provoking thing, and then we have to, inshallah wa ta'ala, keep in mind. If we will not migrate from our sins in this dunya, then try running from them in akhirah. Then again, remember Ibrahim and Adam's advice. Always remember that. It just, to me, it just sticks to my mind. I relate to every situation, you know. So it just really helps me. And just a thought that maybe it will help you all too, inshallah. Allahu Akbar, we will not be able to run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, is, and will be the only master and decision maker. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is not answerable to anyone. We have to assess ourselves. What are our activities? With what we stay busy? Are we dunya oriented or deen? This will inshallah wa ta'ala answer us if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us or not. It will give us inside peace inshallah wa ta'ala, a serene, you know, feeling. And inshallah wa ta'ala, it will motivate us, it will keep us going to do more, to get more, to do things more in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. Can we remind us? Can you remind us of Adam alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam's advice? Yes, inshallah, ta'ala, we will go through that too, inshallah. Then, when we know we have to leave this world one day, then why shouldn't we make it sweet one rather than a bitter one? Right? It's up to us, right? Whatever action we have consequences of whatever actions we do. So, we can strive for that. But my dear sisters, a reality check. Achievement of every high goal requires loads of hard work, sacrifice, patience, and a continuous struggle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, and no deed will be left undocumented and not weighed. So we will not consider any righteous deeds too big and any sin too small. And we will be a sin watcher, inshallah wa ta'ala, for our sins. For that, another self-check, that do we listen to our hearts or our intellects take the front seat? Do we exercise sami'na wa ata'na, or we try to use our intellect and try to reason in every thing comes across? Different prophets and their du'as were mentioned in the surahs. Alhamdulillah, such comprehensive du'as we learned. Try to memorize them and do call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all those du'as we learn every day, inshallah wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, again Ibrahim alayhi salam was mentioned. The hikmah and rushd he was given. We will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hikmah and rushd like Ibrahim alayhi salam, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make the impossible possible. So never shy away from asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially His love, His mercy, His rahmah, His maghfirah. And we need it bad. We need it bad. In every single moment of our lives, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Surah Al-Hajj, it had similarities between Hajj and the Day of Qiyamah. As we have to remember the horrors of the day. And do not stand on the corner to practice deen, as there are greater chances of slipping away while standing there. We have to desire to develop the qualities of a mukhbit, right? In Ayah 35, we were told what qualities a mukhbit adhere. And Anyone remembers? الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. Their hearts get scared. والصابرين. They do صبر. على ما أصابهم. Whatever reach them. They tremble when they listen to the ayahs. Alhamdulillah. And والمقيم الصلاة بمما رزقناهم ينفقون. And they establish salah and they spend from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Everybody, we all have time right now. We all have some kind of skills. Are we willing to spend those? We have to think. Once we have some kind of knowledge about something, then it becomes easy to follow, right? So now, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will try to adapt them and we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in the process too, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then we learn three things for the establishment of our deen. What were those? Three things. Salah, zakah, and islah. Alhamdulillah. So let's work on the desire of prophets to spread deen-e-ilahi and let's defeat shaitan in interfering our decisions. Let's humble our hearts and decide now what next. What after Ramadan? And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will be able to match our desires with the prophets. Inshallah wa ta'ala, biznillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in that respect. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise for the ones who migrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we ready to receive that goodness and will be an active Muslimas, inshallah wa ta'ala? Let's dig deep, ponder, and feel the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's know our Rabb, who our Rabb is. My Rabb, who my Rabb is. Let's put our share to please our Lord. Let's give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due haqq as we are dependent upon him. When we know that our success of this dunya and akhirah lies in striving for the raza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why shouldn't we try to achieve that? Why wouldn't we leave the heedless behavior and be a vigilant Muslim to gain back our status and be ummat-e-wasth in the real sense? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the honor to put our due share in it. Ameen, summa ameen. For that, let's join Sister Faiza in a live session of Journey Through Quran for Juz 18th, inshallah wa ta'ala, to learn more ways to love our Lord and the ways to gain and establish taqwa in our lives and be successful as an individual and as an ummah. Stay focused. A reminder for myself and for you all. Take notes, stay focused, and inshallah wa ta'ala, be a good student. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa hasan jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us reach to Juz 18. Juz 18 is such an amazing juz. It has so many instructions and so many good things that it's not even possible for us to really go through this juz. Today especially, we really need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and mercy, so he can put barakah in our time and we're able to go through this juz, because there are so many things. Without further delay, inshallah, let's say a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Let's listen to the recitation and then start our juz.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How's everyone doing today? Alhamdulillah. Today, with the blessing and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will learn some amazing ayahs and amazing surahs. Today, we're going to learn the beautiful surah, the first surah, that is Surah Al-Mu'minun, and that will give us a curriculum, how the mu'mineen should be, what is their characteristics that they need to develop to really make a difference in this world, in themselves, in the whole society. You know why? Because being a Muslim is one thing. There's a next level, and that is called being a mu'min. And today we're going to learn how to move up the ladder from being a Muslim, an average Muslim that many of us are, to move up to a level of mu'min. Mu'min is means that the one who has iman, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to have iman. And for that level of iman, we need to have some qualities, and that's what we're going to learn in just 18 Surah Al-Mu'minun. And then after that, the ayah will come about the Surah Nur. In that we will learn how to solve the problem that the society is facing currently. So very relevant to our time. And the last surah that will come is Surah Al-Furqan. Here there we will learn that Quran is a criterion that tells us right from wrong. Now before we get into the ayahs, let's learn the today's theme. The today's theme is, be the guiding light for others. Be the guiding light for others. Say it. I want to be the guiding light for others. There is an ayah we will learn in Surah An-Nur. Nurun ala nur. Yahdi Allahu linurihi man yasha. Light upon light. Allah guides to His light whom He wills. Let's make dua right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses us to be that light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to illuminate the heart of a believer so that we can become the light for others. If you go to the next slide, we learn the dua. Sahih Bukhari has this dua that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite for, you know what, when he used to go for Fajr Salah, after Sunnah, when he would walk to the masjid, he would recite this dua. Imagine if you start this dua with this mindset that, oh Allah, make me the light. And let's say this dua with us together, try to say it together so we can really learn it and memorize it. I'm going to say it, inshallah. اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي بصري نورا وفي سمعي نورا وأن يميني نورا وأن يساري نورا وفوقي نورا وتحتي نورا وأمامي نورا وخلفي نورا وَجَعَلْ لِي نُورًا وَفِي لِسَانِي نُورًا وَعَصَبِي نُورًا وَلَحْمِي نُورًا وَدَمِي نُورًا وشعري نورا وبشري نورا واجعل في نفسي نورا وعظم لي نورا اللهم أعطني نورا. O Allah, make light in my heart. Say Ameen. Light in my sight and light in my hearing. Light to my right and light to my left. Light above me and light below me. Light before me and light behind me. Let there be a light for me. Light in my tongue. Light in my muscles. Light in my flesh. Light in my blood. Light in my hair, light in my body, light in my soul. Intensify the light for me. O Allah, bestow me with light. Why are we asking this dua? Imagine yourself that you are actually enveloping yourself in a bubble of light, where there's a light in front of you, behind you, on the side, right side and the left side, from the top, from the bottom. Now that you're secured inside the bubble of light, and once you're secured, then you say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me light from inside of my body too, my hair, my skin, my mindset, my muscles, my blood, and everything is lighted now, and give me a lot of light to my soul too. Imagine if you and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this light, don't you think that we will be protected from other things? This is why it is so important that we surround ourselves with the light. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nur, the light of this heavens and earth. And the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gets into the light of the believer, in the heart of the believer. And you and I, bi'iznillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, are believers. We should be asking this light. Once this light comes into us, only then we can light the pathway for others. Not just for ourselves first, and then we can light others. Think of yourself as a light beam. You know, when it comes out in the darkness of an ocean, you know, there's a light that shows the lighthouse that shows the light to the ships in the sea. In the sea, so that light beam, it shoots far away, right? So the beam is coming from one place, the lighthouse, and it shoots it so far away that the ship can see that light in the way. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make you and I that light, that really beam so sharp enough that goes to the people around us, and they get to see the light through you, and you become the source of them, so they can connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word, meaning this is Quran, is nur, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light is all over this earth. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light is not on this earth, then we will be all in many, many darknesses. This is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given us his light to in this dunya to live by and find our way. So this is amazing dua and amazing mindset that we can start our class with today, inshallah. And if you go to the next slide, you will see the connection between Juz 17 and Juz 18. The Juz 17 theme, if you remember, that was to seek rushd, right? The rightful guidance. So rushd basically enables you to or drives you to benefit others, right? So rushd is a driving force that drives you to do good and become beneficial for others. And this is why you and I are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you light, the light of guidance. So think of yourself, you are a candle, and you are lighting yourself first and your surroundings. And when your surroundings are lit up, then 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. And this is how the light will transmit into the society, and the betterment of the society will come as an outcome. Today, as Muslim Ummah, in generally speaking, they are under the greatness of light, greatness of darkness. You know why? A lot of darkness is surrounded by us because we have not implemented the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the land. And this is why you see the hearts of the believer even sometimes despair, and the heart of the believer is not there when even they do salah. And today we're going to learn the curriculum, how a Muslim, a mu'min supposed to be. So the first mindset we can have before moving forward is that consider yourself that you are here, you want to be the light. This is why we're going to begin with Surah Al-Mu'minun, and here we will learn what to do. Now, before we do that, let's see what we have learned in the last paragraphs of Juz 17. You know why? Because in that Juz 17, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those towards Sirat al-Hamid. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes someone listen to Kalimai Haq, if you see in the next slide, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes someone listen to Kalimai Haq, this is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be guided. You and I say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Are we learning the Kalimai Haq right now? Are we sitting in front of the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us listen. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something planned for you and I. And that is to take this Kalimai Haq, and after having receiving the rushd and ilm, you become the light, illumination for your surroundings. Because the society is in layers of darkness right now. And this is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to be guided. The disbelievers, we learn in the last few ayahs, are so helpless that they cannot even take back what flies take away from them. And on the other hand, believers have so much power. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who illuminates their way. So inshallah, let's move on to the next slide. And also we will learn in this is that the last ayah, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, and strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. With this mindset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know that there is no difficulty in religion. It is the mindset that makes you think, because people like to stay in the outer circle of Islam. That's when the deen becomes hard. If you and I truly want to illuminate our surroundings, then we need to go inside the core of Islam, and that is inside the center circle of Islam. And today we're going to learn how to make it inside the center circle by learning the qualities of the believer. And in the next surah, we will learn how to implement the Sharia law in a society, so the whole society is illuminated. If we only learn this Quran, imagine, just to gain some rewards, Alhamdulillah, that's great. But do you think then that change will come in a society? No, it's not. This is why we need to وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, highlight this part in the last ayahs of the Juz 17. We learned yesterday that we have to strive in a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that it is due upon us. And what it means is that you and I don't have to lift the sword, because today sword is not even there anymore. People don't fight with sword. People fight with drones. People fight with missiles. People fight with bombs. We, you and I, do not have to do that. What our jihad, our struggle, our striving is with qalam. Qalam means pen, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I this knowledge, this pen that we have in our hand, that we are writing our notes. It is very powerful, more powerful than sword at this time of the hour. So the need of the hour is know your worth, know the reality of life, and know how valuable you are. Based on that, only then you can really learn what we're about to learn in Juz 18. If you get into the Juz 18, what do we learn in Juz 18 in the beginning? You see the next slide. The Juz 18 begins with قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are the believers, they will be the one أَفْلَحَ, فَلَح, meaning they are the successful one. Indeed, the successful ones are those who are mu'minun, meaning who are the believers. Rest assured, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you and I believers. So first ayah, we will learn the qualities of the mu'min and the believers, and then we will learn that prophets as a role model, and then in Surah Nur, we will learn a lot of laws and rules and regulations, and in Surah Furqan, it will teach us the criterion, and then some other topic that we will learn is that do nikah, because nikah stops zina, and then seek ill, and Allah is Noor, and avoid divisions, stay united, only then we can be successful, and then kufr, disbelief, eats up the good deeds, and unity brings blessings, and false accusations are not allowed, it breaks up the society into pieces, and we shouldn't be doing that. With that, inshallah, let's go to the first ayah of the first 11 ayahs of Juz 18, Surah Minun. This is basically a curriculum that is assigned to you and I, that we need to check ourselves. Are we following this curriculum or not? Because this paragraph tells us the traits of a true believer. Before we get into that, let's make an intention and ask ourselves, do I want to be a Muslim? Or do I want to be a believer? Or I want to be a true believer. There are different levels of Iman. Some people like to stay on a basic level and they're happy with kindergarten level of Islam, basic salahs, and that's it. Some people like to move up and they become a believer, they do some things extra. Then there's another level. Some people want to move up the ladder and they want to become a true believer. Today, if we have intention to really please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and illuminate the surroundings, then we need to have this intention. With that intention, let's learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad aflaha al mu'minun. Certainly, will the believers have succeeded? Notice here, it is past tense, meaning if a believer already is succeeded, if he develops all these qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a Jannah, beautiful description of Jannah, inshallah, we've been learning. And then I want you to number down what are the qualities are shared in here. You know why? Because we need to check, reference checks ourselves, our lifestyle, whether we have these qualities, and if we do, whether we can improve them or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly, will the believers have succeeded? Question. Let's write down in your note that I want to be the one that is aflaha, succeeded. Then, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The very first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is that they who are during their prayer humbly intend. You know, notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying here, أَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Because that's the basic level Muslims do. They already do that, aqim as-salah. No problem there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to become mu'min. And what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying your prayer, your salah should be filled with khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, when you stand up for salah, your mind is not saying that, oh, I'm just going to do salah and get it over with because I have a thing to take care of. I have errands to run. You know, have you ever heard this sentence? People say, let me just quickly finish the salah, then we can go out for shopping. Let me just quickly done with my salah, then we can start eating. Let me just get over the salah so I can rest. No, when salah is something, a sidekick, then people do it anyway. You and I, when the believer wants to be a true believer, they have to have salah with the khashiyah in it, meaning the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question comes in, how this khashiyah comes? The way this khashiyah can come is when we want to pray salah. The very first mindset you and I need to develop is, I want salah in my life. Number two, when you are about to pray, don't just get up and whatever you're doing, like for example, you're doing something in the middle of a thing, you say, let me just quickly do the salah. No, this is how not the khashiyah will come. Khashiyah will come when you actually prepare for salah. You look forward. Okay, it is 1 o'clock right now and 1:30 the salah time will begin. So let me just prepare myself. Let me finish the task that I'm doing so that I can be on the salah rak by the time it begins. And then look at yourself. Are you clean enough to start your salah? Are you smelling by cooking food? Or do you have some kind of a cleaning up to do and some errands to wrap up? So that finish everything. in the middle of things, when you just make the stove low and then you say, Yumi, let me just quickly finish the salah and then come back and finish the cooking, that's not where the khashiyah will come. You have to end your task, whatever you're doing, free your mind, make wudu, and then get into the mode, in the zone of salah making. When you try to do that, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put your heart into it. Because when we get up and just right away we start salah, so whatever we're doing before salah, that comes during the salah. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our salah filled with khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn a hadith, and the meaning of the hadith is, do the salah as if that Allah subhanahu, you are watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you cannot do that, at least think that Allah is watching you, because salah is a meeting place. Just like yesterday I told you that salah is a meeting practice, the day we are going to stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of qiyamah. This is why the mandatory part of the salah is to stand up. That is called qiyam, the qawma. It is mandatory because this is the practice. You know, when you have some kind of event coming on, people practice for it, right? Like it's called rehearsal or dry run, they say it. Like, for example, graduation ceremony or something. So this is a dry run. Every time you stay in a salah rag, it is a dry run that you and I are doing to practice salah, practice standing up on the day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if in this dunya we don't have any khushu in our salah, do you think we will have fear of Allah on the day of judgment? We won't. This is why we really need to re-strategize how to pray salah and what kind of priority you and I can give to our salah. Then the second quality is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, and they who turn away from ill speech. Notice here, doing good is one thing, but if these people who try to do khashiyah in salah, they will not be able to have it. You know why? Because if a person is cursing, and if a person is gossiping, if a person is doing all kind of negative conversation, do you think they'll have khushu in their heart? No, the minute they will start salah, all the gossip they were doing before, it will come in their mind. And all the ill speech that is part of their lifestyle, it will take over their heart. And this is why people say during salah, they're actually fighting people and they're actually thinking of the answers, how to answer someone who has hurt them. And their salah is not focused. Imagine if a woman is going through a divorce, for example, and do you think during the divorce, terrible thinkings and things that are going on, when she gets up and start praying salah, do you think her mind is in a salah or her mind is in strategizing, how am I going to answer my opponent? And this can go in any situation. Think about it. Whenever we're going through any problems of life, or where we are part of any ill speech, do you think we can focus in our salah? We can. This is why it is important that we turn away from any kind of ill speech, whether it's hurting somebody, or whether it's hearing to the curse words, or whether they're talking some nonsense, or whether it's useless talk like politics, which you have nothing to do with, or anything. So stay away from it. Number three quality is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلْزَكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, and they who are observant of zakah. Alhamdulillah. And the next quality is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, and they who guard their private parts. How do they do that? By staying away from anything and everything that can lead them to thoughts like that. Their thoughts are clean too. Their mind is clean too. Their dreams are clean too. Their thinking pattern, when they talk to an opposite gender, their mind is not going through some false images. Some wrong images in their mind, and they're not thinking anything in their heart. Their hearts are free from anything, so they're able to save and safeguard their private parts. And when they are alone, they still fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't say that we're in a privacy, then we can watch whatever we want, all kinds of filthy scenes. No, their heart and mind stays clean and far away from anything that can lead to furuj, right? إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ, except from their wives or those their right hand possesses, for indeed they will not be blamed. Meaning, there is a physical need a human body has, right? So they can fulfill their need with the right way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that in Islam that you can be a person who can be priest and never get married. Marriage is very important part of Islam. You can and keep your all the emotions, all the thoughts and all the things for your rightful partner, your spouse, which is lawful to you, meaning have the desire fulfilled by lawful means only. And then, فَمَنِ اتَّغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. But whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Two things are mentioned in ayah number 8. And they who are to their trust and their promises attentive. Meaning, they take care. They're not taking easy. Oh, that's okay. So what? I'll give it to her tomorrow. I'll worry about it later. No, they actually take care of the amana and the promises as if they break it, the big disaster is going to happen. They consider these things so seriously, more seriously than any other needs of their personal life. Meaning, this is their priority to keep up the promises. They don't say, oh, I forgot. Oh, I didn't want it to come. Or from the trust perspective, they, when they borrow something, they return it the way it is. You know, sometimes it happens when you let somebody borrow your book. When they return it, it has earmarks on it. It has paper ripped or it has not in the same condition as you have given it to them. So whenever you borrow something, you have to make sure that you give it in a condition that you receive. And when somebody trusts you with one of their stuff, you have to make sure that you do take care of that stuff more than you can take care of yourself. For example, when a neighbor is going away and if they give you a key to keep an eye on their house, you should say, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you should do it too. You should make sure that their house is protected. And then, what else do you learn here? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Notice here, in the ayah number 2nd, we learn that فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are humbly intent. And in the ayah number 9, what do you learn? And they who carefully maintain their prayers. First of all, the one thing we learn here is that importance of salah, because it is mentioned twice in this curriculum that you're learning. And number 2 is that in the first one, we learn about the khashiya, meaning they take care of the salah humbly, right? But in this one, they say they protect their salah, meaning how do you protect your salah? You know how? By being conscious of the time of the salah, by being the one who prays salah in an earlier time, by protecting the salah, for making sure that you don't miss it. Like, for example, plan your day around it. For example, if you go have to run some errands, plan your day around salah time so you don't miss your salah or you don't have to delay your salah. Not just any other person, any other basic Muslim who would just get up and leave for the grocery store and then realize it. Ah, I didn't do salah yet. Oh my God, the sun is going down and it's becoming yellow. I have to run back home. This is not the way. They plan their events of life with this mind that I have to take care of my salah. I have to protect my salah because salah is my priority. And then what else do they do? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. And then those are the inheritors. Meaning, first we have to try very hard to do all these things, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses them to become a warithun, meaning the inheritors. Inheritors of what? Inheritors of الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Who will inherit al-firdaws? They will abide therein eternally. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will get al-firdaws. You know what firdaws is? Firdaws is the highest level of Jannah, whose ceiling is the flooring of the arsh. Meaning, there is no place higher than that. Meaning, if you and I truly want to be in Jannatul Firdaws, then this is what it is needed. Other than that, if a person wants to remain in a basic level of Muslim, he may make it with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any other level. But when you and I ask, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a sunnah to ask for Al-Firdaws. In other words, when we ask for Al-Firdaws, then we should know what is it that takes to enter Al-Firdaws. With that mindset, all these beautiful 11 ayahs tells us something. Before you and I go to forward, and I want you to think about it. is this something that you and I really want, or is it something for other people to follow? This is for pious people, the people of taqwa. I'm not there yet, because this is also one of the tactics of shaitan. He says, you know what, you don't have to be too much. It's okay. Come on. Just be the basic level Muslim and you're doing good. It's okay. So it is choice that is given to you and I, whether we want to be mu'minun or whether we want to be on a basic level. If you remember, in the beginning of our journey, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the first chapter, we learned the first few paragraphs, three categories of people, right? There are one who are mu'minun, the one who are successful one, and then there was kafirun, the one who denies, and the third one was munafiqun, right? Now, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has three surahs that are in name of these categories. The first, by the sequence, the first surah comes is al-mu'minun that we're learning right now. Then we will learn about al-munafiqun in juz number 28, and then al-kafirun in juz number 30 that will come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, what do you want from your life? You can do the goal setting now and move forward with that. Now let's go to the second paragraph, ayah number 12 to 22. In that, what do we learn? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining us that al-insan, meaning what is your the way you are made, and what are the steps that were taken to create you, and who are you? You need to know that, because if after learning what al-mu'minun is supposed to be, if you don't want to be, then you should know what who you are. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةِ مِنْ طِينَ. And certainly, did we create man from an extract of a clay? ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينَ. And we placed him as a sperm drop in a firm lodging, that is womb. Isn't that a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How this teeny tiny drop of water, this stained water, enters and it safely travels through itself, through the route, through tiny tubes, and ends up in a safe place, and that is called womb. Just this by itself should be enough for us to humble our hearts in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just this thought should be enough for us to pray and have khashiyah in our salah. Then we made the sperm drop into a clinging cloth. All those steps that today's embryology teaches us are written exactly to the T. So much so that science, the scientists who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them, they say it's amazing. How come all this information is written there and we as a Muslims don't even know that? We as a Muslim sometimes ignore these things in the name of, huh, so what? It's there. What do you want me to do? So let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really truly make us understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah who has created you and I. It is Allah's mercy that you're sitting right here. It is Allah's mercy that you're learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are some of the steps? I want you to number them down so you know it. We made the sperm drop into a clinging cloth, and we made the cloth into a lump. And then we made them that from the lump bones, and then we covered the bones with flesh. Then we developed him into another creation. So blessed is Allah, the best of the creator. If you think about it, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the fetus, if nowadays we can see the fetus in ultrasound, does fetus look pretty? It doesn't. It's scary. If the baby is born premature, they don't look very pretty. They're not very attractive. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why he says that we make into another creation. And when the baby comes out, all of a sudden, it's pretty little cute bundle of joy when people hold in their hand. This is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a baby, if you only think about it, it is a miracle to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I and the people around us to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these things, through these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then indeed, after that you are to die, then indeed you on the day of resurrection will be resurrected, and we have created above you seven layered heavens, and never we been of our creation unaware. And we have sent down rain from the sky in a measured amount and settled it in the earth, and indeed we are able to take it away. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take anything away at any time. And we brought forth for you there by gardens of palm trees and grapevines, in which for you are abundant fruit and from which you eat. And whatever we eat, we should be realizing that it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we brought forth a tree ensuing from Mount Sinai, for which produces oil and food, meaning the olive, for those who eat. It's an amazing. Olive is such a beautiful fruit we should incorporate in our lives if we already don't do so. And indeed, for you in livestock is a lesson. We give you drink from that which in there is it in their bellies, and for you in them are numerous benefits, and from that you eat. Look at the milk. Milk comes out in the middle of urine and blood, and blood is haram, urine is haram, and nobody can drink all those things. But you know what? What is right? What is milk that comes from the same place? The black cow produces white milk. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon them, on a ship, you are carried. So what did we learn from this process of human beings, the creation, and heavens and earth are masterpieces for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made everything in that human might need to survive. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for us to use. This should fill our heart with the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the inheritors of Jannah are those who have qualities of a believer. The stages of fetus in Quran, and be grateful for using all the blessings that we use, not even thinking. Ayah number 33-51, we learn the leaky bucket of taqwa. What do we learn from this? It's really, really, really important to understand that when we do good deeds, are we safeguarding the good deeds too or not? Because we learn in Quran that the salah that people do, this will be thrown back on their faces if it's not done right way. People do a lot of good deeds, but sometimes people do in such a way that it wastes the good deeds. So here we will learn that from ayah number 33. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَأَتْرَفْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And the eminent ones, eminent among his people, who disbelieved and denied the meeting of the hereafter. And we had given them luxury in the worldly life, said, this is not but a man like yourself. He eats of that from which you eat and drink and what you drink. Here we can understand one thing very important. You know, people have this mindset about the people of taqwa, that people of taqwa should be up there, they should have a boring life, they cannot eat good food, they cannot go out in a restaurant, they cannot wear nice clothes, because no, they are the people of taqwa. They should be dressed simply, they should be living in a down-to-earth simple houses, and they should not be enjoying anything. This wrong mindset has kept people away from Quran. Do you know why? Because people say, no, I want to have enjoy fun in this life. I want to enjoy this life. If I come to Quran, my life will be boring. This wrong mindset has kept people so far away from Quran. They are afraid to come to Quran. Here we learn that being a pious person does not mean that you cannot eat good food. If Allah has blessed you thousands of dollars, then you should spend on yourself. This is also the great gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you have given me such good things. I'm enjoying everything you're giving. Oh Allah, you have given me enough wealth so I can live comfortably in a nice home. What's wrong with that? So this mindset you and I have to change. You and I does not have mean that if we come to Quran, and if we become mu'minun, and if we become the people of muttaqin, that we have to really give up all these things. So don't make the picture of Islam in such that the name of Islam is, if you really have a special garb, you're living very basic home, you cannot drive fancy car, you cannot wear nice clothes. Where does it say that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying people of taqwa are normal people. They can wear if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. As long as they follow the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then don't go overboard, everything is okay. And those people who are wearing these things, they should be giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. It's not like whatever they are earning, they're keeping to themselves. How do you know they're not giving? People are very quick to judge. The other day when I went to a restaurant, I saw one of the sheikh, who is very popular sheikh, and he was sitting in that restaurant. And people are saying, look, he's eating here too. The restaurant was very expensive kind. So I said, why not? He's not a human being. If he can afford it, why can't he eat here? So people have made this religion such that people are not willing to come. This means dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I don't do that. You and I portray the right picture of Islam. Being Muslim, being mu'min doesn't mean that you have to suffer and give up the luxuries of this life. As long as you're grateful and you're not going overboard, everything is okay. وَلَيْنَا تَعَتُمْ بَشِرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. And if you should obey a man like yourself, indeed, you would then be losers. Meaning they want this people of taqwa to sit in a special stage and wear special kind of clothes and talk special way. No, everybody, all the believers should be the same way. There shouldn't be any difference, you know. This difference is created by people, that people of taqwa should be different and I am a basic Muslim, I should be different. This is why you see what you see. This is why sometimes Muslims don't even invite their people of taqwa friends, meaning they hesitate inviting the imam of the masjid in their parties. You know why? Because they know they're doing something that is not right. So that means you're not a mu'min to begin with, right? So there shouldn't be any difference between a life of a normal Muslim and a Muslim of taqwa, because they should be living, eating same thing. And then they, if they're not doing it, that means they're not following the Sharia law anyway. So what do we learn here is that we shouldn't be that one, inshallah. Does he promise you that when you have died and become dust and bones, that you will be brought forth once more? How far? How far is that which you are promised? It is, it that is life is not but our worldly life. We die and live, but we will not be resurrected. He is not but a man who has invented a lie about Allah, and we will not believe him. He said, my Lord, support me, because they have denied me. Allah said, after a little, they will surely become regretful. People who deny the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they want to have fun in this world, there will be time that soon enough they will have regrets. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you and I from all the regrets of the Day of Judgment. Allah said, after a little, they will surely become regretful. So the shriek seized them in truth, and we made them as plants subtle. Then away with the wrongdoing people. Then we produce after them other generations. No one will precede its time of termination, nor will they remain hereafter. And then we sent our messengers in succession. Every time there came to a nation its messenger, they denied him. So we made him follow one another to destruction, and we made them narrations. So away with people who do not believe. Then we sent Musa and his brothers Harun with our signs and a clear authority to Pharaoh and his establishment, but they were arrogant and were a haughty people. They said, should we believe two men like ourselves while their people are for us in servitude? So they denied them and were of those destroyed. And we certainly gave Musa the scripture that perhaps they would be guided. And we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign and sheltered them within a high ground, having levels areas and flowing water. Allah said, O messengers, eat from the good food and work righteousness. Indeed, I of what you do am knowing. And indeed, this is. And here, from up to here, we learned that taqwa doesn't mean you have to be poor, worry about deen being wasted, and balance life between luxuries of this life and the life of akhirah. Which kind of luxuries do you want? The balance is the key. People of taqwa can have normal lifestyle. Do not judge people, the whole family of the people of taqwa. This is also one of the dilemma. When the people of taqwa are there, people start judging their whole family like that too. Look, she is the one who's teaching Quran. Look at her kids. Well, who told you that they have the taqwa level too, right? Who told you that they are learning Quran too? So if you just worry about yourself and what people say, people want to see the family of taqwa like on the higher pillar. You know, when an imam is doing good in a masjid, people say, look at the imam's daughter. She's going to school and she's doing this and that. Who are you to judge that? Do we supposed to be talking like that? We should be worrying about ourselves. We will not be asked question about imam's daughter, what are they doing? It doesn't matter what they do. What matters is what you and I do. So stop pointing fingers on others. Stop judging people, because this is the dilemma our Muslim ummah have. Ayah number 52, we learn, And indeed, this, your religion is one religion. Highlight this thing. Our religion is one religion. And I am your Lord, so fear me. But they, that is the people, divided their religion among them into portions, that is sects. Each faction is what it has rejoicing. This ayah number 53 is telling us, stay united, because when we divide ourselves into groups and we call ourselves into different names, then our hearts gets away. And today, there is no power in Muslim Ummah together. You know why? Because everybody's promoting their own school of thought. Everybody's promoting their own hidden agenda or apparent agenda. And they're so adamant about it. If you talk to them, they get so mad that they don't want to come to you. They don't want to listen to anything to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this ayah number 53, that you have to stay united or else your deeds will be wasted. And so leave them in their confusion for a time. Do they think that what we extend to them of wealth and children, it's because we hasten for them good things? Rather, they do not perceive. Indeed, they who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord, and they who believe in the signs of their Lord. So in ayah number from 33 to 51, we learn not to worry about all these things. And also we learn, if you see the next slide, I have a picture of a bucket, a leaky bucket. You know, when sometimes when we do good deeds and not really taking care of them, so that means your deeds are being wasted and you're depositing in them in such a thing that actually is going under. You know, say for example, some people do salah and they don't do it properly, it's wasted. Some people say, you honor and treat and your guests will guest well, but when they leave, you start gossiping about them. This is a leaky bucket. You give a lot of sadaqah to poor people, but humiliate them after that. This is a leaky bucket. You stand up for the tahajjud prayer at night and fast and read Quran every day, and this is a leaky bucket. And then you fast and you have sabr and you hunger pangs, but you start insulting and cursing during this. This is a leaky bucket. You help others, but you are doing it to gain something from them and not doing acts of kindness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory. This is a leaky bucket. You post reminders and have thousands of followers on Facebook and Instagram, but you are not doing the same thing. This is a leaky bucket. And if you have intention of showing up for whatever you do, this is a leaky bucket. So we need to really be worried about this leaky bucket, that our deeds are being wasted or our deeds are depositing it in a proper way that they're supposed to be deposited. So now from ayah number 51 and to 57, we are learning, fear Allah even when doing right. This is so important. So we have already done till ayah number 56, now ayah number 57. Indeed, they who are apprehensive from fear of your Lord and for fear of their Lord, and they who believe in the signs of their Lord, and they who do not associate anything with their Lord. These qualities, note them down, and they who give what they give while their hearts are fearful, but they will be returning to their Lord. Meaning, they just don't do things without even thinking. They are careful about their deeds being wasted. Why? Because when the deeds are wasted, that means you're not doing a good job, and they will be the one who will be bankrupt. Because imagine, fasting is not easy, but when you go and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say there is no fast in your account, and you say, but Allah, I fasted all these times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, but you cursed and you did entertaining yourself, the stuff that you're not supposed to be doing. You were killing time during fasting, not really using the time. So all these things are leaky buckets of our thing. And it is those who hasten to good deeds, and they outstrip others therein, and we charge no soul except what's within it, its capacity, and with us is a record which speaks with truth, and they will not be wronged. But their hearts are covered with confusion over this, and they have evil deeds besides that is disbelief, which they are doing. Until when we seize their affluent ones with the punishment at once, they are crying to Allah for help. And do not cry out today. Indeed, by us you will not be helped. My verses had already been recited to you, but you were turning back on your heels. In arrogance regarding it, conversing by night, speaking evil. Think about it. This is what happens. This is how we put our deeds in a leaky bucket and they go away and we don't realize it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, don't turn back. And because it's arrogance, when people have, they actually speak evil. Then, have they not reflected over the word, meaning this Quran, or has there come to them that which had not come to their forefathers? Question. In ayah number 68, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they have not reflected over the word. Can we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it possible for us to reflect over the Quran? Because when you start reflecting, you will enjoy it so much. So, you know, people play this puzzle, people play this Sudoku, people have this all kinds of mini games that they have on their phone when they're waiting in a waiting area. They're playing there to kill the time. A believer doesn't kill the time. A believer uses every moment to think about what is going on. Why is it going on? The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it. What is right? What is wrong? And this is contemplating. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to do. Or did they not know their messengers? So they are towards him disacknowledging. Or do they say in him is madness? Rather, he brought them the truth, but most of them to the truth are averse. But if the truth, that is Allah, and follow their inclination, the heavens and the earth, and whoever is in them would have been ruined. Rather, we have brought them their messages, but they from their message are turning away. And, or do you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask them for payment? But the reward of your Lord is best, and He is the best of providers. And indeed, you invite them to a straight path. But indeed, those who do not believe in the hereafter are deviating from the path. And if we gave them mercy and remove what was upon them of affliction, they would persist in their transgression, wandering blindly. And if we grip them with suffering as a warning, but they did not yield to their Lord, nor did they humbly supplicate, and will continue thus. And until when we have opened before them a door to a door of severe punishment, immediately they will be therein in despair. What do we learn here? Do good, run towards goodness, and when doing sins, think, check, rethink again and again whether it's the right thing to do or not. And the heart should be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Allah is giving confidence to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here that this is haq and what you're spreading. So don't feel despair. Don't feel that people are not listening so there is any doubt. No, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saddened when he used to give such a good message and people wouldn't take it. Imagine if you and I are telling this to come to Quran and people are not listening. This is nothing as compared to what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. And then we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khayrul raziqeen, meaning He's the provider and the best of the provider. Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eating good and wearing good is allowed but not show off, right? And worry about acceptance of the deed and eat halal and pure. In the next paragraph, we learn number 78 to 92, do you obey or not? Here we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And it is He who produced for you hearing and the vision and the heart, that is intellect. Little are you grateful. We can ask this question to ourselves. How am I using my hearing and my ability to see, and where are my hearts? And am I feeling grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by learning this book? Do I feel grateful when I use all the blessings that we just learned? Or do I feel it's my right? I have to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to give me, because this is the general attitude people have. People think it is their right to receive all the blessings. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touched them with adversity, they think, why me? So, and then we learn in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and it is He who gives life and causes death, and He is the alteration of the night and the day. Then will you not reason? Rather, they say like what the former people have said. They said, when we have died and become dust and bones, are we indeed to be resurrected? We have been promised that we and our forefathers before this is And this is not but legends of the former people. This is how people deny Quran. This is just stories. Say, O Prophet, to whom belongs the earth and whoever is in it, if you should know? They will say to Allah, say, then will you not remember? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Highlight this ayah. You know why? Because Allah SWT is asking, if you do believe in Allah, then why is it so hard for you to obey Allah SWT? And then they will say to Allah, say, then will you not remember? Say, who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and Lord of the great thrones? They will say, they belong to Allah. Say, then will you not fear him? So if we think also that we should be answering these questions, أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ and أَفَلَا يَذَكَّرُونَ and say, in whose hand is the realm of the all things and he protects while none can protect against him, if you should know. And they will say, Allah belongs to Allah, all belongs to Allah. Then how are you deluded? Rather, we have brought them the truth and indeed they are liars. Allah has not taken any son, nor has there ever been with him any deity. If there had been, then each deity would have taken what it created, and some of them would have sought to overcome others. Exalted is Allah above what they describe concerning him. And he is knower of the unseen and the witness, so high is he above what they associate within him. What do we learn here? O Allah, make us the grateful servants. And أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ then will you not remember? أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ then will you not fear him? So, inshallah, let's go to the next paragraph. In ayah number 93 to 118, we learn, repel evil with good. What do we learn here? My Lord, then do not place me among the wrongdoing people. And indeed, we are able to show you what we have promised them. Repel by means of what is best their evil. We are most knowing of what they ascribe. Meaning, don't just take revenge on your hand. Let it go. You know why? Because that's where the peace of the heart comes. That's where the rush in the heart will come. And that's how you will become the illumination for others. Because if you have resentments of people in your heart, you will not be able to move forward. So let's make this moment a very special moment for your life and mine, that we forgive other people. Because we have to, no matter how bad the people treat us, we have to be good to them. And say, my Lord, I seek refuge in you from the incitements of the devil. Because it is the devil, it is the shaitan who tells us, come on, go ahead, go answer. Why don't you speak up? You are on a truth. It's okay. It is your right and stuff like that. And people get into this rut of shaitan's incitement and shaitan looks and laughs at us. Don't let the shaitan laugh on ourselves. And I seek refuge in you, my Lord, lest they be present. And these ayah number 97 and 98. This is the dua for staying away from shaitan. Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazati shayateen. Let's say it together. Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazati shayateen. Wa a'udhu bika rabbi an yahdurun. For such is a state of disbelievers until when death comes to one of them, he says, my Lord, send me back. You know why? So he can really fix himself. That I might do righteous in that which I have left behind. No, it is only a word he's saying. And behind them, behind them is a barrier until the day they are resurrected. So, when the horn is blown, no relationship will there be among them that day, nor will they ask another about one another, meaning time is now. There is no turning back, and we will not be able to come back here. And those whose scales are heavy with good deeds, it is they who are successful. Lesson. Can we take a moment out and think about it? Are we living the life that we will have regrets or not? So if we think that we are doing fine in this dunya, then think again. Ayah number 103. But those whose scales are light, they are the ones who have lost their souls being in hell, abiding eternally. The fire will sear their faces. Think about the faces will be blackened. In this dunya, people take care of their faces so much. And these faces will be blackened. May Allah save us all. And they will have taunt smiles. And Allah will say, were not my verses recited to you and you used to deny them? they will say, our Lord, our righteousness overcame us, and we were a people strayed. Our Lord, remove us from it. And if we were to return the evil, we would indeed be wrongdoers. He will say, remain despised. Imagine if Allah SWT is telling you that there is no hope, there is no turning back. So what do we learn from this? Time is now. Remain despised therein and do not speak to me. You know when a mother gets very mad to the child, she said, don't talk to me. And Allah SWT, imagine, there is no example for Allah SWT, but imagine if Allah SWT turned his face away from people. There is no mercy then. Indeed, there was a party of mine, my servants, who said, our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us. This is also a dua, ayah number 109, should highlight it. Make dua with the belief, the iman that we have. Use that as a wasila to make dua. Our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us and have mercy upon us, and you are the best of the merciful. But you took them in mockery to the point that they made you forget my remembrance, and you used to laugh at them. Question. Can we take a look at our previous life, and can we make dua to Allah SWT right now, right this moment, that Allah SWT, وَرْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. Have mercy upon us because you are خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. Have belief in Allah's beautiful name and ask Allah SWT now. Indeed, I have rewarded them this day for their patient endurance, and that they are the attainers who are the faizun. The faizun are the one who exercise extreme endurance, extreme patience, and they don't call back, and they don't give back, and they don't take revenge in their hand. They let it go. They feel lightened. They feel good by doing that. And Allah will say, how long did you remain on earth in number of years? They will say, we remained a day or a part of a day as those who enumerate. Meaning, you know, when people hold resentments in their heart, they think they're living in this world for forever. Allah SWT is saying, this world that you think it is forever, it is only a number of days, or not even a day. Can you imagine? For life that we have to live in this dunya is so short, and people still want to live for this world. And the life that people have to live forever, people say, I don't care. I want to take revenge right now. I want to let them know how I feel. I want them to suffer just like me. Who are you to make them suffer? Who are we to think like that? We want to be forgiven in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to our hand, we are so tough. We don't want to let go. People keep resentments in their hearts 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and still sometimes people talk about their mother-in-law. Yeah, she's gone, but by God, she was very tough on me. She is not there in this world anymore. Let her go. It's okay. People make mistakes. She did too. But you holding on to this resentment is going to kill you, not her. So what do we learn? Let go. Let go any grudges that you have. Let go anybody. In fact, you know what? Make a list of the people who have hurt you in the past. And from that list, write the name of the person who is in the top of the list, meaning who hurt you the most, and forgive him the first thing. And then go down the list. You know why? Because that's the hardest thing to do. But you do it because you want khushiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want your salah to be filled with khushiyah. The khushiyah will not come when you have resentment in your life. Ayah number 114, he will say, you stayed not but a little if you only had known. Such a tiny life this dunya is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you only had known. You highlight this part. أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Only if we know this. Oh Allah, make us know this, that this life has no worth, and let go of things. Then, did you think that we created you uselessly? Think about it. Abasa, is this why Allah SWT created you and I? Just to live and grow up, eat and die young? No, this is not why Allah SWT created you and I, and that to us you would not be returned. So, exalted is Allah. فَتَعَلَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. Highlight this ayah, because this teaches us the oneness of Allah SWT. And whoever invokes besides Allah another deity for which he has no proof, then his account is only with his Lord. Indeed, the disbelievers will not succeed. And, O Prophet, say, My Lord, forgive and have mercy. This last ayah is also a beautiful dua, ayah number 118. Rabbighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Can we say it right now? Rabbighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. A beautiful surah has just ended. It has so much to learn, and make dua that Rasul Allah make it possible for us to truly understand this surah in detail one day. And I would recommend that you should listen to the tafsir of this surah. Maybe you can request to your admins, or maybe you can sign up for the course, inshallah. But for now, let's make dua while we listen to the recitation of the next surah, Surah Noor, that whatever we're about to learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really make us understand it and make it easy for us. And this surah, Mu'minun, whatever the curriculum we learn to become a Mu'minun, Allah make it possible for us to really understand and implement. Let's listen to the recitation, and please listen to the recitation while focusing on it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات بينات لعلكم تذكرون الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون. This is a surah which we have sent down and made that within it obligatory and revealed therein verses of clear evidence that you might remember. Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur is a surah of light. This surah is basically, we have to listen this surah with a mindset that in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a solution to one of the major problem we have in our society, and that is zina. Islam is all about protection. Islam is all about preventive measures. In this surah, we learn how the society is going under. Today, we see that zina has become so common, and people don't even feel that something is wrong with this. Today, in the Western culture that we live in, the zina is considered something that is a normal for society. Just like a person needs to use the bathroom, a person needs to need to eat food. They say it is a physical body need. So we need to live together. What's wrong with that? And in fact, when they say that somebody should say that, you know, you should get married, they say, why? Marriage is just a paper contract. It's just a paper that sits in a closet for days and years, and there is no value to it. And then also it bounds you to really live with one another forever. What if I don't like that person after 1 year or something? So it's better for me to live together. Today, not just non-Muslims, this sickness, this disease is coming into Muslim culture also. Muslim boys and girls, when they go to dorm, they're living together, they spend good time, and they try it out. They say, we're trying it out, and once we find the right partner, we'll get married then, and we'll think about it. And believe me, I'm not kidding. This is such a common thing. In some of the convention I went to, they shared a survey there, and they said 70% of the people either did it themselves, or they have seen their friends doing it, meaning it is really epidemic that is really eating up the ummah of ours. This Surah Noor teaches us the solution and the ways, and that can really protect us from this filth that is coming in their life. This Surah Noor is a solution to the society, to the mankind, to the whole world. In the Western culture, you know, the having the baby, the child that has no father, it is so common that they have actually removed from the forms of the school and other forms that you have to fill out to get admission somewhere, they have removed the column which it says father. Instead of father, it usually says either guardian or a protector or partner. It doesn't even say spouse anymore. It says partner. And if you say spouse, they say you are backward because not everybody's married, you know. Why do you even talk about that? Spouses live together. Spouses are not there. They're partners there. Yes, my partner did that. My partner did that. And, you know, if you ask people who are in a workplace in this country, they would say that their colleagues actually say this very commonly. My partner. They don't say my wife and my husband anymore because they're not even married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to develop a society which is free from all these things. You know why? Because the Sharia law, you know what the importance of the Sharia law is? There are five laws that are very important, the reason that we have to implement the Sharia law. And what are they? One of them is the protection of lineage. Today, many kids, they have no idea who their father is. Somebody was sharing this story when they went to the subway, the tube train system, and they saw this woman there. And the woman appeared to be black by her features and stuff. But she had 5-6 kids with her, and they all looked very different. So at a first glance, this woman thought that these kids are actually, since she may be a daycare teacher or something, or a school teacher who's taking the kids to the field trip or something, because one would look Chinese, the other one looked white, and the other one looked Vietnamese, and so on. So they started having a conversation. So she asked, so which daycare or which school do you work for? You're taking the kids to the field trip? She said, oh no, they're all mine. She said, oh, wow. So she was curious. So she asked, so what's your husband's nationality? Because your kids look very different. She said, oh, I'm not married. If we live in a society like that, when the woman has so many kids and not even a single husband, what do you think, what kind of society are we producing? And today we have actually come to normalize it so much that we are desensitized to this issue. And we say, you know what, it's okay. It's their life. Let them live their life. You know, this is why this has spread in such a large number, and people say we are willingly living together, so this is not considered zina. Zina is only something when we are forced into it. So women give up themselves in the hands of a boys willingly, and then boys can do, men can do whatever they do with them, and they don't mind. They say, you know what, I'm desperate to have a boyfriend. If I say no, then I'm gonna lose him as a boyfriend. A friend of mine actually shared this story. When she was in a dorm, she had this girl, and she was dating this person, and she and this guy had a very bad reputation. He was known as a flirt in the whole university campus, and she was still willing to be her be his girlfriend. You know why? Because she said, I am lonely, I need a man in my life, and since I don't have any, even though I know he's a flirt type, he's gonna leave me, I'm still willing to give myself in the hands of this guy. This is how low the standard of the society has been. This society wasn't like this few hundred years back. Christianity didn't begin like this. It's over time, people, when they desensitize to these issues happen. And people, the kids grow up, they don't have any love of father because they don't know who their father is. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this Surah An-Nur, you have to develop a society where everybody is known. The lineage is protected. Only then you can do. This is why we will learn such a harsh punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place in this surah, that we will learn that why, so we can have the protected society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to live in peace. This is why we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a list of muharramat, that you cannot marry these people, that because so you can have a peace of mind that they're not going to touch each other in a wrong way. Today, this rape is becoming so common, and this rape is going on with the young girls under the age of 10. Can you imagine? Why do you think this is going on? Today we will learn how to stop this filth that is going on in society in these ayahs. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time, and we're able to cover this surah the way it's meant to be. Ayah number 1 to 10, we learn about zina. Zina is haram. Zina is not allowed. And you know what? We need to have this talk with our kids when they're very young, because in this system, in this society that we live in, they are exposed to girls and boys relationship from the very young age. Even in kindergarten, even in preschool, I've seen they, on the Valentine's Day, they make you, the teacher actually gives candies to each other, and then they are told, every girl is told to give the boy a candy, and every boy is told to give the girl a candy. When our kids are growing up with this mindset, oh, it's just a candy. Oh, it's just a candy? No, it's not just a candy, because this is how they prepare the mindset that it's okay. And you know what? In many schools, a lot of kids have shared this, that the teachers actually make the boy and girl sit together. And they're touching each other, they're hugging each other, they're even kissing each other. So with that mindset, do you think they'll understand that all this can lead to zina? They won't. And you know, before the zina was up to in colleges environment, the hostels and dorms. But then time came in the high school, they have these machines, the vending machines installed with a protection measure, a stuff that you can vend it. Why? Because they say it's better to provide them this precautionary measure when they have some intimate relationship with a boy and girl, at least they're not pregnant. Because teenage pregnancy is at the rise. Teenage deliveries, when abortion rate is so high, there's one doctor, Muslim doctor, she said that it is just beyond imagination how many young girls come to, and I'm not talking about Muslims, non-Muslims only, even Muslim girls at the age of 15, 16, 17, they come and they want to get the baby aborted. So, and you know, there's so many households out there who have no men in the house, only females. You know why? Because men, they actually sucks the enjoyment from out of the woman and they leave it. They don't care if the woman is pregnant or not. They don't care if they have any kids or not. They run away. And to protect and develop a society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a solution in the Surah An-Nur. Imagine if these Sharia laws are implemented and told to the world in the West, this world would be a different place to live. But you know what? Muslims themselves don't know these laws. Muslims themselves, instead of defending these laws, they say why these laws are there. They are so harsh. So what? People can make mistakes. That doesn't mean this. And you know what? If inshallah, once you get to the ayah, you will understand that these ayahs, these laws are in favor of, and they are made so hard that it's not like something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, go and do this punishment. There's a system. There's a process you have to go through. Nobody can accuse somebody that, oh, you know, people in our culture are very quick to judge. You know, I saw someone's daughter sitting with someone, some guy, they must be having some relationship. Who are you to judge? Maybe they're just sitting it for the work reason or whatever. Never judge people. So let's begin, inshallah. This is the surah which we have sent down and made that within it obligatory and revealed there in verses of clear evidence that you might remember. Az-zaniyatu wa-zani, the unmarried woman or unmarried man found guilty of sexual intercourse, lash each one of them with 100 lashes. And do not be taken by pity from them in the religion. That is the law of Allah. And if you should believe in Allah and the last day, and let a group of the believer witness their punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying there is 100 lashes law if the boy and a girl are unmarried, because they're not married yet. So what do we learn here? Let them get married so they don't do zina. People have made the marriage so hard. They say, you know what? They're not ready to get married yet. They're not supporting themselves. He cannot support the wife. So I'm not going to let him marry. And you are basically saying no to the nikah and yes to the zina. You verbally don't say it, but you are saying it with your actions by not letting them get married. Why can't you let them get married if they are 17, 18, 20 years old? If they have a desire, if they have come to you, the boys especially, let them get married. Because if you don't, then they can commit whatever they want. And who's responsible? It is them. Before them, it is you. Because you said no. He came to you first and you said no to him. And then 100 lashes is a punishment for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do this punishment in open so others can see it. You know why? So they can get scared. Because if they know that this is the punishment, they will stop. Today people say, oh, it's okay. They're just boys and girls. They can make mistakes. And they're emotional at this age. This doesn't justify it. This is really against what Islam says. And the fornicator does not marry except a female fornicator. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة أو الزانية لا ينكحها إلا زاني أو مشرك. What do we learn here? A fornicator does not marry except a female fornicator or polytheist, and none marries her except a fornicator or a polytheist, and that the marriage, this is marriage to such person, has been made unlawful to the believers. What do we learn here? You know, when we try to choose a partner, this is the reason number one that can stop this process in this world. And what is it? When you choose a partner, life partner for the boys and the girls, your sons and daughters, try to get them married according to their own standard. Meaning, when we actually do that, when we find a proposals for them, don't just choose and pick somebody on other basis. If the girl is pious, then choose him a pious partner. If the boy is a pious, then choose her a girl that is pious. Why? Because, you know, when we are getting married, we don't really think about these things, if he's good enough or not. We say, oh, we need to get married to this person because of the green card reason. And he's going to give me green card or she's going to give me green card. And we don't care what the character of that person is. And later when their problems happens and this fornication happens and there other things happens, people say, oh, what is that? Why am I suffering? Why my husband is cheating on me? Because you need to know. First step is that be careful when you're looking for our spouses, for your sons and daughters, if they are the right type. Yes, if the boy is already straight, don't make a mistake of getting him married to a pious girl, because you're doing zulm upon her. She's not going to be able to fix him. If he's already lost, then get him married with a lost girl. And those who accuse chaste women and then do not produce four witnesses, notice here, it is not easy to just accuse somebody. It is not allowed to do that unless you have four witnesses. Can you imagine? Unless you have proof by four witnesses. How many times do you know people have these witnesses? They don't. If they don't, then don't even say it, because now it's a slander then. It is another Sharia law applies on this. So what we learn here is, don't just make fun of people sitting together and just assume that they have already done something too. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you have to produce four witnesses. Lash them with 80 lashes and do not accept from that from them testimony after that. Meaning, first they deserve this 80 lash punishment, and then they will never be able to be a witness for anything. Meaning they have lost the right to be witness and to give oath in any court of law. And those are the defiantly disobedient, except for those who repent thereafter and reform, for indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. So what have we learned so far? People sometimes judge people. People say, oh, what's going to happen now? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, you can't do that. You cannot just accuse somebody of something that is this wrong unless there are four witnesses. Why do you think this four witness stipulation is there? You know why? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like these things to be promoted. Meaning, if you cannot produce four witnesses, then hush, quiet. Don't really go around and let people know, oh, these people are doing this. Today, people are using these things as a gossip too. People find fun talking about their daughter and their boys and their girls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, these things are not to be discussed. Yes, if they have made a mistake and you can't find it, then let it go. End the story. And except for those who repent thereafter and reform, for indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful, and those who accuse their wives of adultery. Ayah number 6 is about Leon. What is it? And those who accuse their wife of adultery and have no witnesses except themselves, then the witness of one of them shall be four testimonies, swearing by Allah that indeed he is of the truthful. What do we learn in this ayah? These ayahs, Allah is saying there was a story when one of the Sahabi who saw his wife committing adultery. So he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw my wife. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, bring four witnesses. He said, I don't have any witnesses. It's just I saw my wife. So what do you do? So in that case, this ayahs were revealed that yes, can happen. This is between husband and wife only. If a husband sees his wife doing zina to somebody else, then this li'an can be done. And I'll explain to you what it is once I read the ayahs. But li'an is something that the husband and wife, and the same thing with the wife. If she sees her husband and there is no other witness, this li'an can be done. So what is this li'an? And if he cannot find the witness, then he should give the four testimonies, meaning swearing by Allah four times that indeed he is the truthful. Now imagine swearing by Allah's name four times that he is truthful, and the fifth oath will be that the curse of Allah be upon him if he should be of the liars. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very hard. Imagine who would call the curse of Allah upon themselves unless they are absolutely true. Only then they can do that. So these are the systems in place. This is the second system, second thing that it stops people from committing all these things. And the fifth oath will be that the curse of Allah be upon him if he should be of the liars. But if it will prevent punishment from her, if she gives four testimonies, swearing by Allah that indeed he is of the liars, and the fifth oath will be that the wrath of Allah be upon her if he was to be of the truthful. And if not for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon you and his mercy, and because Allah is accepting of the repentance and otherwise and wise. So what did we learn in this paragraph? Implementation of these laws are for our own protection. Get your kids married on time, especially if they're coming and asking you to do that. And then four witnesses are needed or else this punishment cannot be implemented. And don't just assume about people unless you're for sure. Still, if you don't have four witnesses, do not speak up. Just shut your mouth. And don't lie about these issues, because these are serious issues and require serious punishment. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you and I to be careful what we see. Don't pass it on. Be careful, because whatever you pass it on without any goodness, without any truth in it, that can come back to us. So may Allah protect all of us and help us be the part of the society to promote the zina-free society. May Allah keep our kids protected in this way. In the next ayahs, this is a very emotional ayahs, ayah number 11 to 20, because in these ayahs we learn about the event of ifk, meaning the story that happened to Aisha radiallahu anha when someone accused her of being adulterer. And na'uzubillah, how can people do to a wife of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that? But you know what? All kinds of people exist everywhere. This is why we need to seek protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, because we may think that we're living comfortably. Allah knows best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. Inna allatheena ja'u bil ifk. And indeed, those who came with falsehood are a group among you. Do not think it bad or for you. Rather, it is good for you. For every person among them is what punishment he has earned from the sin, and he would took upon himself the greater portion thereof. For him is the greatest great punishment, and that is the hellfire. What do we learn in this these paragraph? We learn about the story of Aisha, the mother of the believers. She was accused. One day there was a caravan going somewhere, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she went to the bathroom, and then when she came back, the caravan has left, because nobody realized that Aisha was not in that that thing that she used to sit and people used to carry him on the camel, and they left without her. She was smart, and she said, you know what, I'm not going to go anywhere, I'm just going to lie down here, and when they will see me in the next stop that I'm not there, they'll come back. So that was a smart thing about her. So she stayed there, she covered her face, and she lied down. There was this man, he was assigned, Safwan bin Mu'attil. His job was to look after when the caravan leaves. So he would clean up and pick up all the stuff that they may have forgotten or something. So he was in a camel. So when he came back, he saw somebody lying down on a floor. And when Aisha radiallahu anha heard the voice, so of course she was lying down, and she just immediately removed and saw who was that person. And then she realized that this was a man, so she covered herself again. Remember, Surah Nur revealed after, and Surah Ahzab was before. So before even the ayahs about the hijab came, Aisha radiallahu anha, he used to saw her, so he knew that it was Aisha, the wife of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he turned his face away, and then he put the camel lower, and he said, sit on it, and he just hold the rein of it, and he drove the camel and she was sitting on a camel and they came back. Sure enough, when people saw a man and a woman coming along, even though she was a wife of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rumors fly fast. Abdullah bin Ubay, he was the biggest munafiq. He saw them coming and he, of course, made something, a rumor flies, and he said, you know what, she has must have done something. Astaghfirullah. And she, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was being accused of something so huge, adultery. Aisha radiallahu anha was such a nice and naive woman and such a simple woman. She didn't realize anything. When they got there, she went home. Everything to her was normal. But she noticed that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not talking to her. And she said, I don't know what's wrong. Back then, there were no bathrooms inside the home. So she would go out to free herself to relieve herself that she had to use the bathroom. So aunt, she took her outside, and when she took her outside, here I'm going to read this narration from 3388 from Bukhari, narrated by Masjid. I asked Ummi Ruman, Aisha's mother, about the accusation of the force against Aisha. She said, while I was sitting with Aisha, an Ansari woman came to us and said, let Allah condemn such and such person. I asked her, why do you say so? She replied, for he has spread the slanderous story. Aisha said, what story? Look at the innocence of the Aisha. The woman had told her the whole story. Aisha asked, have Abu Bakr and Allah's Apostle heard about it? She said, yes. Aisha fell down insensitive because she could not believe that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already knew about the story, and her father Abu Bakr did too. And when she came to her senses, she got fever and shaking of the body because she was so sad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and asked, what is wrong with her? I said, she has gotten fever because of the story which was been rumored. Aisha got up and said, by Allah, even if I took an oath, you would not have believed me. And if I put forward an excuse, you would have not excused me. My example and your example is just like that example of Yaqub and his son. And against that which you assert, it is Allah alone whose help can be sought. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses concerning the matter about this case of Aisha. And on that, Aisha said, thanks to Allah only and not to anybody else. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, and these ayahs were revealed, the next 10 ayahs about innocence of Aisha. So he came to Aisha and said, oh Aisha, Allah has revealed your innocence. So her mother said, say thank you to your husband. She said, no, I'm not going to thank him. I'm going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who really proved my innocence. And she thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it took, this whole process took 1 month. Can you imagine? 1 month, Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, suffered from this accusation. So what the point and the lesson we learn from here is never accuse anybody. And they were, basically this is the story we learn here. So when you heard it and did not believe them, and believing women think good of themselves, that is one another, and say this is an obvious falsehood. Why did they who slandered not produce for its 4 witnesses? And when they do not produce the witnesses, then it is they in the sight of Allah who are the liars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, how come you just accused and everybody believed? How come nobody tried to produce 4 witnesses? And if it had not been for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and his mercy in the world, in this world and in the hereafter, you would have been touched for that lie in which you were involved via great punishment. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they should not have said something like that because this was an accusation without any proof. So what do we learn? We have to be very careful. And if it had not been for the favor of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his mercy in this world and the hereafter, you would have been touched for that lie in which you were involved by a great punishment. When you received it with your tongues and said with your mouths that of which you had no knowledge and thought it was insignificant while it was in the sight of Allah tremendous. it is a tremendous thing to accuse somebody. And why, when you heard it, did you not say, it is not for us to speak of this. Exalted are you, O Allah. That is a great slander. What do we learn? If we hear something like that in somewhere, we should say, it is not for us to speak about it. Don't be part of the gossip that is going on. Don't be the part of the rumor that is going on. Stay separate yourself, because if you're not directly affected by that, then why should you take part in the gossip? Why should you take part in the spreading of the rumor? And people sometimes pick up the phone. Oh, did you heard about their daughter? She was going in with this guy in this mall. I saw her. I swear I saw her with my own eyes. Why are you spreading this rumor? Even if you did see something like that, keep it to yourself. Allah warns you against returning to the likes of that conduct ever if you should be believers. And Allah made clear to you the verses that is His rulings, and Allah is knowing and wise. Indeed, those who like that immorality should be spread or publicized among those who have believed will have a painful punishment. See, ayah number 19 tells us it is such a severe punishment for those who actually spread the rumors. May Allah make us among those who do not spread the rumors of any kind. And in this world and in the hereafter, and Allah knows and you do not know. And if it had not been for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and His mercy, and because Allah is kind and merciful. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a prophet, he went through so many trials. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts some trial in us, why are we getting afraid? Why are we getting so this and that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the believers. And this was not a small test that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. Imagine, she was the only wife he loved so much, and she was the only wife that was not married before. All other wives were also either widowed or divorced. So what do we learn? We learn here that life is full of tests. We have to do our part and just stay put. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clears the accusations whenever the right time is right. So if somebody is accusing you of something, just do not try to protect yourself. Do not try to, come up with the answers and try to prove yourself, because if the person is truthful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this job on His hand. Close all the doors that can lead to zina. Very important. Close all the doors that can lead to zina, because this is how the zina spreads. And live a conscious life, a love-fearing life. What do we learn all this? From all this, we learn that in order to stop zina from a society, do not spread rumors because it normalizes it, and do not accuse somebody, and get the kids married in early age if they are wanting to. If they actually show the desire, then listen to that. And then ayah number 21 to 26, we learn steps to develop clean and pure society. What are they? You can write down and number them as the ayahs comes. Now, the very first step is in ayah number 21. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati shayateen. Sorry. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, oh, you who have believed, meaning the job is upon us, the believers. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Why? Because it's the shaitan's enticements that people lead to zina. And whoever follows the footsteps of shaitan, indeed he enjoys immorality and wrongdoing. What do we learn? It is the shaitan who tells you, oh, it's okay, I'm just testing it out, I'm trying it out. Like if it's a boys and girls relationship, it's like a garment that you have to try it out. It doesn't fit you, you can get it a new one. And indeed, he enjoys immorality and wrongdoing. And if not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, not one of you would have been pure ever. But Allah purifies whom He wills, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Meaning, shaitan entices you all the time. It is you who have to say no to his enticements. And let not those of virtue among you and wealth swear not to give aid to their relatives and the needy and the immigrants for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying people make mistakes, let them go and pardon them and overlook them. This ayah was revealed for about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Let me finish this ayah. Should forgive you, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he used to take care of this man, and he was the one who actually slandered about the daughter of Abu Bakr. Aisha radiallahu anha was the daughter of Abu Bakr, right? So this man who actually slandered and talked about Aisha and spread the rumor, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to support him. He was a caregiver for him. He used to pay him monthly money to support himself. When he heard that this is the man that who was accusing his daughter for such a big big thing, so he said, you know what, I'm not going to support him anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like it. Can you imagine when somebody accuses you and you say, I'm not ready to forgive? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said his own daughter was accused, and he said, I'm not going to support him. Allah said, no, you can't do that. When this ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq restored his monthly income and even increased it. This is the level of Iman, Sahaba had. And you and I try to take matters in our hand and say, I am the one who's going to take revenge. I'm never going to talk to that person who did this to me. I'm never going to be happy with this person who did that to me. Do you think it was easy? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had a level of Iman. This is why he was a Siddiq. And he actually not just hired this person back, but he actually increased the stipulation. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how hard it must be for us to do? But this is what's required. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't like it. How can you say no to this person when you're supporting? And this is how Islam is spread. Today, we need the characters of like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq who can really make Islam grow, because today we don't see this character anywhere. We are too quick to judge. We are too quick to give up. We're too quick to take matters in our hand. Indeed, those who falsely accuse chaste, unaware, believing women are cursed in this world and in the hereafter. Can you imagine? So be careful. And they will have a great punishment on a day when their tongues, their hands, and their feet will bear witness against them as to what they used to do. That day, Allah will pay them in full their true, that is, deserved recompense, and they will know that it is Allah who is the manifest truth. And evil words are for evil men. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithina wal-khabithuna lil-khabithati wa-tayyibatu wa-tayyibina wa-tayyibuna lil-tayyibati ulaika mubarra'una mimma yakulun lahum maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. Evil words are for evil men, and evil men are for evil, are subjected to evil words, and good words are for good men, and good men are for object of good words. Those good people are declared innocent of what they, that is slanderers, say. For them is forgiveness and noble provision. What do we learn here? Al-Khabiz, impure deserves impure. So when you are selecting the spouses for your daughters and sons, select them equitable, which is according to their own level. If your boy and son is pure, then select pure wife for them. If your girl is pure, then select pure husband for them. And if they are into all kinds of filth, then select the guys and girls same according. Today people say, I was so pure, and then why? How come I got this husband who has this and who has that? Well, guess what? When you were getting married, did you think about it? Did you pay attention that who we are getting married? Did you pay attention to the character of a person, or did you get married for some other reasons? People do paper marriages in the name of a green card, in the name of some status, in the name of some hi-fi label that they want for themselves. And they overlook the character of a person. If somebody comes, a proposal comes for your daughter, and if the guy is very rich, and if you ask them what's the character, they say, oh, like all other men, don't give your daughter in the hand. And if the person comes and they say there's a proposal for your daughter, but the guy is not very rich, but he's very pious, you should give your hand to that person. You know why? Because when we are making decision to getting married, we overlook the character And then when the problem happens, and then when the guy cheats a woman, or if a woman cheats a guy, they say, how come I was such a pious person, my daughter was such a chaste woman, and she has to go through the hands of this man? Because did you really take care of the character part when we're looking for the partner? Because you only went for the status of him. You only went for the high-fi job that he's holding. You only went for the degree of the doctor he had, or maybe the business he owns, or maybe the looks he had, or maybe he has a green card and he lives out of country, and then you wanted your daughter to go out of country. So all these things, it's our own mistakes, and later we say, how come this is going on? May Allah truly save us all. And then the lesson we learn from this is that Allah forgives and advises us to forgive. Again, forgiveness is very important. And footsteps of shaitan leads to fuhsh, and it leads to zina. Keep kinship despite of their evil. Even if the people do wrong to you, you still have to be right to them. You still have to do right to them. Remind yourself, let's say it again, we still have to be kind to them, even if they're doing something wrong. Such a big thing that happened to Abu Bakr. His own daughter was accused by this guy, and he still hired him back. He still supported him financially. And forgive those who accuse you falsely. Even if you're right, and if they're accusing you falsely, forgive those. While getting sons and daughters married, look for their character and never accuse anyone. May Allah truly help us to live by this. Ayah number 27 to 34, preventive measures that needs to be taken in order to have a safe and sound society. What are they? Oh, you who have believed, do not enter houses other than our own, other than your own houses, until you ascertain welcome and greet their inhabitants. That is best for you. Perhaps you will be reminded. What do we learn in this ayah? The first measure is, don't just walk into places. Don't just walk into somebody's house in the name of, oh, my sister, and you know, not even a real sister, but you know, you are my friend's wife, and I want to be together. I just want to have fun. We're just eating together. It's okay. This intermingling of the people is causing this zina. Because people sometimes, in the name of modernization, they have these mixed parties, and they say, they sit with each other and they eat with each other, they laugh with each other, not realizing it that these are the doors that we're opening to that leads to zina. Because imagine if your wife at home, she's busy cooking and she's not even taking care of herself, and then you're sitting in this company with the intermingling parties going on, and these women were wearing perfume and looking very pretty, aren't you going to get attracted to them? So all this, Islam says, do not enter houses. Do not sit together. Be careful. This is the first step that we learn to stop zina from any society. Before, it used to be a Muslim culture, very common. Men used to come, they used to sit in a living room outside, and women used to be inside the house. Today, when we go to Muslim parties, everybody's together. Even if women are dressed up, or even if they're in hijab, they're still sitting together. They don't mind talking to each other. And if you do not find anyone therein, do not enter them until permission has been given to you. Meaning, if they don't open the door for you, just go away. It's okay. And if it is said to you, go back, then go back. Today, we would mind so much. She was inside and she didn't let me in. How rude that is. She doesn't have any manners and they don't have any manners. It is purer for you. Allah SWT is saying it is the purer thing. For example, if the woman is home and some guy comes in, a friend of your husband, and you tell him that don't come in, or you don't even open the door for him because you know you're alone, so he shouldn't feel bad. You should not let him come in because now you're alone. This is called steps to stop zina. And it is purer for you, and Allah is knowing of what you do. There is no blame upon you for entering houses and not inhabiting in which there is convenience for you, and Allah knows what you reveal and what you conceal. Tell the believing men to reduce, lower their vision. Notice here, Allah SWT is talking to men first. Lower your vision. This is a second step that we can take to avoid zina in the society. Because if you don't stare at the woman, then you're not going to do anything. And guard their private parts. Take care of private parts. And that is purer for them. Indeed, Allah is fully aware of what they do. Now, after telling men, because men's has only one problem, and that is women. If they stare at the woman, they develop these feelings and they start imagination and they start thinking and then they want it and then leads to talking and then that next thing leads to smiling and then the next thing leads to talking in detail and the next, before you know it, it turns into a relationship and sooner or later marriage is broke and this extramarital affair starts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, put the stop right then and there. And then tell the believing woman to reduce some of their vision and guard their private parts. Notice here, women are also told to reduce their vision, lower their gaze. And women think that they can stare at men all the time. It is for men only. No, it is for women also. You know, this TV screen has made this job so hard because now that a person gets used to staring at the 2D screen, and when it comes to 3D personality, they have a harder time to lower their gaze and not expose their adornment except that which necessarily appears thereof, and to wrap a portion of their head covers over their chest and not expose their adornment. Notice here, not just cover the head and the neck only, but cover the chest too, because that's where the beauty lies. Today, people wear the mini hijab and they just cover their head and they think they're doing this hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, you have to, besides covering the head and the neck, you have to cover your chest too, meaning your clothing should not be that it is revealing your shape, and you should be covered with that. And over their chest and not expose their adornment, meaning they should be wearing such clothes that their beauty is not exposed except to their husbands, their fathers, their husbands' fathers, their sons, their husbands' sons, their brothers' sons, and their sisters' sons, their women, and that with their right hand possesses, that is slaves of those male attendants having no physical desire, or children who are not yet aware of the private aspects of the women, and let them not stomp their feet. Notice here, high heel shoes, tuck, 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 and all those anklets that people wear that can make noise, all comes under this. Why? Because woman is beautiful. Woman is attractive. Everything about woman is attractive. To make known what they conceal of their adornment and turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, O you who believe, that you might succeed. In these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, hide your adornment. Cover your chest along with your head. So now people can say, oh, I don't have to. Oh, I can't. I find it hard. And marry and the unmarried among you and the righteous, and among your male slaves and female slaves, if they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty, and Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. But let them who find not the means for marriage abstain from sexual relationship until Allah enriches them from His bounty, and those who seek a contract for eventual emancipation from among whose right hand possesses, then make a contract with them if you know there is within them goodness, and give them from the wealth of Allah which He has given you, and do not compel your slave girls to prostitution. No prostitution is allowed in Islam. If they desire chastity, to seek thereby the temporary interest of worldly life, and if someone should compel them, then indeed Allah is of them after their compulsion forgiving and merciful. And we have certainly sent down to you distinct verses and examples from those who passed on before you, an admonition for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn in these ayahs? Don't enter anyone's house without permission. If they say no, come back. Segregation puts a stop towards zina. It is very important that we bring back the culture of Islamic environment where parties can be arranged in such a way that men and women sit separately. So there is no chances of zina that can lead to zina. And do nikah if they cannot afford the nikah, then let them fast, because if they cannot get married, fasting is the best thing that can suppresses these feelings. And there is no prostitution allowed. So if you have boys who are young age, from the very young age, let them get into a habit of fasting, not just in the month of Ramadan, but all year around, the sunnah fast, Thursday, Friday, Thursday and Monday fast, or maybe Ayam-e-Eid, the white days fast. Why? why? Because they will know how to suppress their feelings while they're fasting. And this is how we stop. This is another measure that we can take to prevent a sinna in a society. Ayah number 35 to 40, Allah is Noor, He is light. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The example of His light is like a niche within which is a lamp, and lamp is within the glass, and the glass is of the glass as if it were a pearly white star lit from the oil of the blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow even if untouched by fire, light upon light, nurun ala nur. Allah guides to His light whom He wills, and Allah presents example for the people, and Allah is knowing of all things. Such niches are in houses, that is mosques, which Allah has ordered to be faced, and that His name be mentioned, that is praise therein, exalted Him within them in the morning and the evening. What do we learn in these ayahs? And are men whom neither commerce nor sales distract from the remembrance of Allah and performance of the prayer and giving of zakah, they fear a day in which the hearts and eyes will fearfully turn out, that Allah may reward them according to the best of what they did and increase them from His bounty. And Allah gives provision to whom He wills without account, that is limit. But those who disbelieve, their deeds are like a mirage in a lowland, which a thirsty one thinks it's water, until when he comes to it, he finds it nothing but finds Allah before him, and He will pay him in full His due, and Allah is swift in account. And or they are like darknesses within an unfathomable sea, which is covered by waves, upon which are waves, over which are clouds, darkness, some of them upon others. When one puts one out of his hand therein, he can hardly see it. And he to whom Allah has not granted light, for him there is no light. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is light, and Allah's light gets in the hearts of the people of the who are believers. And those who actually stay away from all those things that we just learned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows lights upon them. And another step that we learned in here is that keep the hearts attached of your men and boys in the masjid. When their heart is attached in the masjid, they will not get into these things that are all these dunya, the world is teaching you, the immoralities. Because imagine if a person's heart, if a mother divorces her child and she takes his child to the masjid from the very young age, do you think her child will get distracted? So Allah's mother is saying, when the heart is attached to the masjid, automatically you will be protected. You know, now the woman can say, my husband doesn't even pray, or he prays at home, he doesn't go to masjid, what do I do? Well, you know what? Let them leave him alone. He's grown up. He can decide. You can work on the child. If you have a child 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, that's the age that you can develop the habit of going to the masjid, and you can develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from very young age. And inshallah, you can help them do the fasting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep them protected. The society will not change just by wishing for it. Society will change when we have steps taken in its place. And this information about this zina being serious crime needs to be shared. This is not something that we can take easy. And then in the next paragraph, we learn that ayah number 41 to 50, teamwork of the universe. We need to learn lesson from the teamwork, that the universe is working together, how clouds are working together, and everything else. Ayah number 41, do you not see that Allah is exalted by whomever is within the heavens and the earth, and by the birds with wings spread in flight? Each of them have known his means of prayer and exalted him, and Allah is knowing of what they do. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and to Allah is the destination. Do you not see that Allah drives clouds? Then He brings them together. Notice here, everything, single cloud cannot do much. Singly, you and I cannot do much. We have to work as a team. And then He makes them into a mass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the mass and the team and the organizations born. And you see the rain emerge from it, and that's where the goodness starts pouring from it, right? And He sends down from the sky mountains of clouds, within which is hail, and He strikes with it whom He wills and averts it from whom He wills. The flash of its lightning almost takes away the eyesight. And Allah alternate The night and the day, indeed, in that is a lesson for those who have vision. Allah has created every living creature from water, and of them are those that move on their bellies, and of them are those that walk on two legs, and of them are those that walk on four legs. Allah creates what He wills. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. It is amazing. Allah SWT has created so much variety. Imagine all these varieties, all these animals. Some actually don't have any legs. They crawl. Somebody walks, and somebody walks on four legs and two legs. You know, in human, Allah SWT has put all of these things. When a baby is there, he walks on four hands and feet. And then when a man is straight, he walks on two. And in old age, when he takes a stick, the staff to walk with, now he's walking on three legs. Subhanallah, how amazing. And ayah number 46, we have certainly sent down distinct verses, and Allah guides whom He wills to straight path. But they, that is the hypocrites, say, we have believed in Allah and in the Messenger, and we obey. Then a party of them turns away after that, and those are not believers. And when they are called to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger to judge between them, at once a party of them turn aside in refusal. But if the right is of theirs, they come to Him in prompt obedience. Is there disease in their hearts? Or have they doubted? Or do they fear that Allah will be unjust to them or His Messenger? Rather, it is they who are the wrongdoers, meaning they are the ones who are unjust. What do we learn from this paragraph? Universe is working in coordination with each other, so should we. Allah is a provider of all risk. Contemplate on nature and learn lesson. Do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 51 to 57. We hear, we obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. May Allah make us those who hear whatever we hear, and wa ata'na, and then we obey whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And this is the characteristics of Sahaba. They used to hear something and they used to obey right away. May Allah develop this character in all the Muslim Ummah today. Ayah number 51, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Notice here, the one who does سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, they are the one who are al-muflihun. The only statement of the true believers when they are called to Allah and His Messengers to judge between them, in that they say, we hear and we obey. And those are the successful ones. May Allah make us among those. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger and fears Allah and is conscious of Him, it is those who are the attainers. And they swear by Allah, their strongest oath, that if you ordered them, they would go forth in Allah's cause. Say, do not swear, such obedience is known. Indeed, Allah is fully aware of that which you do. Nothing is forgotten by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows everything. Say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. وَقُلْ أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Notice here, Allah and Rasul, both are needed to be obeyed. People today say, oh, the Quran is enough. I don't need a hadith in my life. But if you turn away, then upon Him is only the duty with which He has been charged, and upon you is that with which you have been charged, and if you obey Him, you will be rightly guided. Do we want to be rightly guided? Then we must obey Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And there is not upon the Messenger except the responsibility of the clear notification. Allah has promised those who have believed among you and done righteous deeds, and He will surely grant them succession to authority upon the earth, just as He granted it to those before them, and that He will surely establish for them therein their religion, which He has preferred for them, and that He will surely substitute for them after their fear security for they worship Me, not associating anything with Me. But whoever disbelieves after that, then those are defiantly disobedient, and establish prayer, and give zakah and obey the messenger that you may receive mercy. Never think that the disbelievers are causing failure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the earth. Their refuge will be the fire, and how rich the destination. What do we learn here? Well, Allah make us the true picture of sami'na wa ata'na, and we are replaceable, we're not permanent, and no swearing allowed for now without any reason. Ayah number 58 to 61. O you who have believed, let those whom your right hands possess and those who have not yet reached the puberty among you ask permission of you before entering it three times. This is another step that we can take to avoid zina and the things that can lead to zina, meaning the rules that we have to follow inside the house upon entering the room. These three times before the dawn prayer and when you put aside your clothing for rest in the noon and after the night prayer, meaning the Isha, these are the three times of privacy for you. There is no blame upon you nor upon them beyond those periods for those they continually circulating among you, some of you among others. Thus does Allah make clear to you the verses, that is the ordinance, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing and wise. What do we learn here? These three times are the privacy times. These three times our husband and wife may be in a position which is not very something that should be seen by others. So train your kids, train others in your house that these three times nobody should enter your room without knocking. Because these are the resting times. These are the times intimate relationship may take place. This is why. So here we can also learn that, you know, sometimes where there's a joint family system, when people are living together, more than one family, what do? You can enter the house like that? No, that the room that they are in, meaning husband and wife, even though it's inside the house, but their room is considered their house. So don't enter their room in these three times also, and don't enter their room without even knocking the door. And also, this stops all kinds of wrong that can come, because what if a child walks in and she or he sees the parents in a position which is not something that he can handle? It's going to cause something in his heart. So be very careful. And very young age, it is a job of a parent to tell the kids all these rules and regulations from the very young age. And when the children among you reach puberty, let them ask permission at all times as those before them have done. Thus does Allah makes clear to you his verses, and Allah is knowing and wise. And women of post-menstrual age who have no desire for marriage, there is no blame upon them for putting aside their outer garments. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying when the woman has reached to this age that she doesn't have a desire, a desire to really get attracted to men, only then she can leave her outer garments, but not displaying adornment, meaning still she should not display the adornment. But to modesty refrains from that is better for them, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Even though she is given this exception, but if she continues doing that, continues wearing the outer covering, that is abaya and hijab and everything, it is better for her. Now women say, you know, we're so old, who's going to look at us? So they don't do that. Well, guess what? Why do you think that they dress up in a nice, soft, off-white color and beautiful matching jewelry, pearl necklaces? What are they doing it for? So somebody said, you know, they're old. Nobody is going to look at them. So somebody answered, you know, it's true. No young person is not going to look at them. But in that party, wherever they're going, they're old men there too, their age. So it's better for them not to do all that. So I number 61. There is not upon the blind any constraint, nor upon the lame constraint, nor upon it and the ill constraint, nor upon yourself, but what you eat from your own houses, or the houses of your father, or the houses of your mothers, or the houses of your brothers, or the houses of your sisters, or the houses of your father's brothers, or the houses of your father's sisters, or the houses of your mother's brothers, and or the houses of the mother's sisters, or from them whose keys you possess, or from the house of your friend. There is no blame upon you whether you eat together or separately. Meaning within the house, within the mahram, you can eat together, you can eat food without even taking a permission. Islam doesn't mean that you have to live a harsh life, you have to live it here, you're all alone. No, within the mahram relationship, you can eat together, you can enjoy together, you can eat without even asking for the permission. And give greetings, say salam to each other, give greetings of peace upon each other, a greeting from Allah, Blessed and good, does Allah make clear to you the verses ordinance that you may understand. Such a beautiful religion even tells you what to do inside the house, how to live, when to take permission, when to enter the room, when to exit the room, what to wear inside the house, what to wear outside the house, how to look and how to eat. Everything is given. Such a perfect religion, and yet us Muslims themselves don't know it, and how can they share it with others? What do we learn in this? Seek permission upon entering room during these three times. Say salam to each other. Teach your kids from very young age what is the limitations. And you can eat freely from the list mentioned in this ayah, ayah number 61. And eat together, and there is barakah in it. You know, sometimes people say, eating together, we learn here is that there's a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that we learn there's a person came, there's a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn that there's a man came and he said, I have no barakah in my home. So he asked that, you know what, do you not have barakah because do you eat separately? Meaning, this is not the exact word of hadith, but I'm just telling you the meaning. Meaning that all the family members in your home, whenever they feel like it, they come and they eat and they don't really eat together. He said, yes. He said, this is why there's no barakah. Eating together brings barakah. So it is very important that as a family, today especially, people say, oh, they have this thing to do and they have this place to run and they don't eat together. So eat together, this will bring barakah in life. So it's inshallah. Let's go to the ayah number 62. The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and when they are meeting with Him for a matter of common interest, do not depart. From the ayah number 62 to 64, we learn something very important. And you know what that is? Manners of working together. The Ansarullah, the people who work together in one environment, one teamwork, they have to listen to their leader. They cannot just walk out without even telling their leader they're going, or, oh, I don't feel like coming, or coming in late and leaving early and not taking the jobs and the meetings seriously. Because sometimes people, when they take, imagine the organization where people have their own choice, free will, they come and they go at their own accord. They don't have any rules and regulations. Do you think that organization is going to work? Do you think that organization is going to be successful? No. So what do we learn here? We learn here that it is important that we pay attention to these things, and they should seek permission. The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and when they are meeting with Him for a matter of common interest, do not depart until they have asked His permission. Indeed, those who ask your permission, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those are the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger, meaning take your matter seriously. So when they ask your permission due to something or of their affairs, then give permission to whom you will among them and ask forgiveness for them who of Allah. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Do not make your calling of the messenger among yourself as a call of one of you to another, meaning keep your voice low. Prophet ﷺ has a high status. Respect him. Already Allah knows those of you who slip away concealed by others, so let those be aware who desist from his, that is the Prophet's order, lest fitna strike them or a painful punishment. Unquestionably, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Already He knows that upon which you stand, and you knows the days when they will be returned to Him, and He will inform them of what they have done, and Allah is knowing of all things. What do we learn in this? Meetings, plannings are important part. We have to take it seriously. Some people say, oh, there's a volunteer meeting, I was supposed to go up, but I forgot, so I just took it easy. No, these things are important. Don't leave your management without informing. It is rude, it is not right. And seek permission always for whatever excuse that you have. It's okay. People can have excuses, but you have to let the management know. And now, alhamdulillah, we have completed Surah An-Nur. This was an amazing surah. I wish we had more time to really because there are so many lessons in there. But alhamdulillah, now Surah Al-Furqan, it's very only 20 ayahs in this juz. Let's go over. Let's listen to the first couple of ayahs recitation only, and then we'll move on to Surah Al-Furqan.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا واتخذوا من دونه آلهة لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون ولا يملكون ولا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي نزل القرآن على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا Ayah 1-9 about the noble Quran. This Quran is full of barakah, and when we follow what we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts our life filled with barakah. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion upon his servant that he may be to the worlds a warner. He to whom belongs the dominions of the heavens and the earth, and who has not taken a son, and has not had a partner in dominion, and has created each thing and determined it with precise determination. But they have taken besides him gods, which creates nothing, while they are created, and possess not for themselves any harm or benefit, and possess not power to cause death or life or resurrection. And those who disbelieve say, this Quran is not except a falsehood. And he invented and another people assist him in it, but they have committed an injustice and a lie. And they say, legends of the former people, which he has written down, and they are dictated to him morning and afternoon. Say, O Prophet, it has been revealed by he who knows every secret within the heavens and the earth. Indeed, he is ever forgiving and merciful. And they say, what is this messenger that eats foods, walks in a market? Why was there not sent down to him an angel so he would be with him a warner? Or why is not a treasure presented to him from heavens, or does he not have gardens from which he eats? And the wrongdoers say, you follow not, but a man affected by magic. Look how they strike for you comparisons, but they have strayed, so they cannot find a way. In these ayahs, what we learn, Quran is real, is the people who have deviation, they're not able to get it. So Quran is a criterion, meaning a differentiator between haq and batil. Quran tells us right from wrong, and this is what we have been learning. Would you say yes or no? Do you think it's just something the Quran is telling you what is right and what is wrong? This Quran is a criteria of life or not? Quran is blessed. Quran is a warner. It is warning against whatever is going to come. So prepare now. And Allah knows everything, even the secrets of our heart. Let's go to the next ayahs, ayah number 10-20. On the day of Qiyamah, this paragraph will tell us what is going on, what will happen, and we can prepare for ourselves. Blessed is he who, if he filled, could have made for you something better than that, gardens beneath which river flows, and could make for you a palaces. But they have denied the hour, and we have prepared for those who deny the hour a blaze. When it, that is the hellfire, sees them from a distant place, They will hear its fury and roaring, and when they are thrown into a narrow place, therein bound in chains, they will cry out there upon for destruction. They will be told, do not cry this day for one destruction, but cry for much destruction, meaning it will be many destructions. Say, is there better for, or is that better, or the garden of eternity, which is promised to the righteous? The choice is given. People can choose how to live this life. If they want to live life in a certain way, be it. Go ahead, but be aware that there will be consequences for this. It will be for them a reward and destination for them. Thereby is whatever they wish. How beautiful. In this dunya, we can live by the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow all that what we learn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you can wish, you can live according to your wish in the hereafter. Abiding eternally, it is ever upon your Lord a promise worthy to be requested. And mention the day He will gather them that which they worship besides Allah and will say, did you mislead these, my servants, or did they themselves stray from the way? They will say, exalted are you. It is not for us to take besides you any allies, that is protectors, but you provided comfort for them and their fathers until they forgot the message and became people ruined. So they will deny you, disbelievers, in what you say, and you cannot avert punishment or find help. And whoever commits injustice among you, we will make him taste a great punishment. And we did not send before you, O Prophet, any of the messengers except that they ate food and walked in a market, and we have made some of you people as tribes for others. Will you have patience? And ever is your Lord seeing. What do we learn in these ayahs? We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking questions. Are we prepared to answer? And all prophets were among their own people, meaning they were normal people. They were wearing and eating and everything. So we can be normal people, and yet we can be people of taqwa at the same time. Do sabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching every effort of yours. Meaning, people say, you know, I've been serving this person. I've been helping my husband. I've been serving my mother-in-law, and she never appreciates it. Well, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether your mother-in-law, whether your husband, or whether other people appreciate you or not. Allah knows it, and Allah will not your effort go to waste. And don't become reason of sabr for others. What it means is, if you have to be do sabr, patience for the attitude of others, be careful that are you the person whom others have to do sabr because of you. So don't be that person. May Allah make it easy for us. And if you go to the next ayah, next slide, you'll see the dua again. And inshallah, try to recite this dua in the morning or any time. And then if you go to the next slide, the last slide, take home message. What is the take home message? Do your part in developing zina-free society. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to do that. We can start from our home, train our kids and our grandkids and teach them. And then by doing that, we can become a guiding light for others. And this is the end goal for today. When you go home, leave with this message, inshallah. May Allah make it super easy for all of us to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to follow, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kathira, Sister Faiza, for such a beautiful session of another iman boosting juz. Alhamdulillah. We learned so many lessons. Alhamdulillah. Learned the Sharia laws in Surah An-Nur. Just feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in with His slaves. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and have mercy upon us. Now my question is that we are so desperate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and yet we are not willing and are not ready to forgive whoever hurt us. Before we go further, let's think that, am I ready to forgive those who hurt me in any way? Yes, dear ones, it is so very important for us to forgive and any and everyone that might hurt us. And I know it is sometimes very hard, and it's the hardest thing to do. So we have to, you know, while it is the gathering of, inshallah wa ta'ala, the angels, and they will say ameen to our du'as, and we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, make du'a that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to forgive anyone who hurt us. So we, our heart is free of any kind of animosity. Right? I just, in this respect, I just want to just share one of my experience, you know. I was blessed to go for Hajj a few years back, and I was told in the preparation session of Hajj to forgive any and everyone who have hurt me, and go to Hajj with a clean slate of heart. Honestly, I could not digest it. It was very hard for me. Although it had, I had been saying for years that yes, I forgive so and so, but the hurt was not going away. I mean, it was very hard for me to think of that certain person and not feel hurt. So, but I was very puzzled. So I asked my teacher, I say, I forgive whoever hurt me, but I say it, that those are just words, but the hurt I still feel is telling me a different story. So that means, am I a munafiq? And I was really, really concerned. You know, like you're going for the first time to Hajj, and then you are, you just want to prepare yourself to the very best, you know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the wisdom of my teacher. She told me, if you do not feel hurt, then you're not human. But now you have to see how you will direct your hurtful feelings to the happy ones. So I said, how? She said, to start praying in favor of those individuals whom I resent hurting me. And eventually you will realize that when you will mention their names, you will not be resentful towards them anymore. Wallahi, my dear sisters, it didn't take me more than a couple of weeks to get rid of that feeling, which I was nursing for I don't know how many years. I was also fortunate enough that I was praying in Haram. So what I mean is, we have to do everything in that respect for our heart to feel free of any animosity, so it is filled with only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. So try doing that, and then inshallah wa ta'ala, in this Ramadan especially, let's make a you know, vow that we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll do anything and everything possible in our capacity to, inshallah wa ta'ala, do that. So having said that, now I would like you to please write one point that touched your heart before we leave this session, inshallah wa ta'ala. Anyone? Is the text open, sisters? Anybody is willing to take mic? Leaky bucket. Exactly. Allahu Akbar. Chat open. Alhamdulillah. If anybody is, wants to take mic, because I know sometimes it takes longer to write. So you are more than welcome to raise your hands, and I can, inshallah wa ta'ala, unmute your mics. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sister, your mic is open. Amna.
Assalamu alaikum. I would like to say that the first few ayahs of Surah Al-Mu'mineen, to have to develop the character of a mu'min, that touched my heart, and inshallah, I'm praying to Allah that I can work on those.
Inshallah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you in that respect. Ameen, summa ameen.
I would like to say something. I can't text. I can't write a text still.
That's fine.
Should be being grateful for using all the blessings. There are so many blessings of Allah that we have that we use every day. Maybe we should be more grateful for them.
Inshallah, inshallah, we will be. You know, when once you start realizing a certain point, and you are willing to work on that, then inshallah it will happen. You know what, when there is no realization, when there is no feeling there, then how it's supposed to work? So alhamdulillah, the moment we realize that this thing is, and this session is about that. Going through the Quran is giving us the insight, giving us that realization, giving us that feeling that we have to develop on. And inshallah wa ta'ala, upon working on those feelings, then we will see inshallah what we have to do after Ramadan, and then if we take the in-depth courses of tafsir and stuff, and then inshallah wa ta'ala we can develop that character fully, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, inshallah wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera. Yes, Sister Ghazala. I unmuted your mic.
Assalamualaikum. MashaAllah, I learned so much in this ayah, more detail that I can never imagine how Allah loves us, and He gave example and the characteristic and everything. The mostly I learned about this throughout the life, I heard so many women got divorced and men got divorced, and then how Allah prescribed how to choose the spouse, why, what we are doing wrong, and about the hijab, how to wear the hijab. So many people are like, oh, you got engaged, so it's okay, you can go out for dinner, and parents allow the children to go get to know the people, and how Allah prescribed that don't do it, and what are the consequences.
So this, see, the beauty of Islam, it is not only the, anything is just pointed out that this is the epidemic, or this is the, the disease of a society, but we are giving solutions to, you know, solve those problems.
Yes.
SubhanAllah.
Can we give, like, a lot of people ask, like, oh, where is it written in Quran that you cannot hang out, after engagement, or the parents said, no, there's nothing in the Quran like that, you get to know. Can we refer the surah to them?
Yes, of course. Surah An-Nur is all about that. Alhamdulillah. Yes, of course. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera. Anyone? Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's do the dua, because it's been a long session. You guys have been sitting long. Inshallah wa ta'ala. We will conclude our session with the dua, inshallah ta'ala. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your love and the love of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, help and guide us to be your obedient servants. Ya Allah, help us to stay away from sinful attitudes. Ya Allah, make us among those who say sami'na wa ata'na. Ya Allah, help us live as an obedient slave of yours according to your wishes and desire, so we can live according to what you promise and live the way we desires. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ أَعِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌّ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَاعْفُ عَنَّا فَاعْفُ عَنَّا فَاعْفُ عَنَّا اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أُشْرِكَ بِكَ وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا Take good care of yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of us in His hifz aman. Protect us from the sharr of people and shaitan. If life and health permitted, we will see you all tomorrow with Juz 19 in Journey Through Quran, inshallah wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa ahsan jaza. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tubu alayna wa tubu alayna wa tubu alayna innaka antas tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.